Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where Jesus has been explaining to the Pharisees that freedom does not consist in words, but rather is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we continue today in John chapter 8, verse 37, we find the truth about murders, lies, and the devil as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
We're picking up in really sort of the middle of a dispute that Jesus is in with the Pharisees. As he was speaking to them, there was a point where many of his hearers, they embraced him. They embraced what he was saying as truth, and they believed in him. And so he went on to say to those, now he's speaking to a large crowd, and it's a mixed crowd. And there are people in the crowd that are attentive, there are people that are open and receptive, but there are also people that are opposing him and they're expressing hostility toward him. And many of the Pharisees were leading in that regard there. But as he's saying these profound things, there are those in that crowd that embrace him, that realize this has to be the Messiah. And so as they are believing in him, he went on to say to them that if they would abide in his word, then they would truly be his disciples. And he said, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And now those in the crowd who are antagonistic, they respond and they say, we are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. So how can you say that we will be made free? So it's this particular group of people within the crowd that Jesus is contending with. And that's where we pick up here in verse 37. So he says to them, I know that you are Abraham's descendants. You are connected to him through the flesh and blood connection. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. Now, Jesus has been being opposed and resisted by these guys very, very often. And he has been disputing with them. He's been contending with them. He's been patient with them. He's been very long-suffering toward them. He's been trying to get them to drop their opposition and to receive what he's saying. But they're maintaining that resistance. And now Jesus is going to really begin to get kind of rough with them, actually. And he's really going to get right down to where these guys are really at. And he's going to call them on the carpet, so to speak, here. And he hints at it. He says, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So he acknowledged you're the descendants of Abraham. There's a genetic connection there. But you see, the children of Abraham would behave like Abraham. And so the point that Jesus is making is that they're not behaving like Abraham. They're not doing the works of Abraham. He said, but now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God, Abraham didn't do this. You do the deeds of your father. And then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, and that is God. Now, when they came back to Jesus with this comment, we were not born of fornication, it seems that they were now attacking him specifically in regard to the circumstances surrounding his own birth. Now, of course, there would have been some knowledge about his birth, and there would have no doubt been many rumors that had developed and things like that. Remember, 30 plus years have passed. And it seems that they're hinting at the idea that he was born of fornication. Because you remember, of course, Mary was a virgin when he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so they're misconstruing that and they're drawing from that. Of course, they didn't believe in a virgin birth, so they're drawing from that that there was fornication on the part of his mother. That seems to be what they're hinting at here. But they say, we're not born of fornication like you were. In other words, that's what they're getting at. We have one father, and our father is God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. It's an important point that Jesus makes here when he says, if God were your father, you would love me. And that is, of course, true today as well. There are people who claim to love God, have God as their father, be committed to God and so forth, but despise Jesus Christ, reject him, oppose him, resist him. Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me. So anybody who's genuinely a child of God is going to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who rejects Christ, then that person cannot truly have a relationship with God. Now, Jesus goes on, and here it is in verse 44. He really hits them right between the eyes. He says, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. So now remember, he's not talking to just some radical mob, some, you know, people who were satanic worshipers or anything like that. He is talking to the head of the religious establishment of his day. These guys were the leaders of the church, if you will, in the days of Jesus. And he says to them, he says, you are of your father, the devil. Religion is not any indication whatsoever of a genuine connection with God. And here's a great illustration of it right here. These guys were the most religious people in the nation. And yet Jesus says to them that they are the children of the devil. They're following the devil. They're not following God. And so it is true still today. There are many people who are devoutly religious, but they're following the devil rather than following God. But Jesus says to them, he says, and the desires of your father you want to do. Now Jesus is reading their minds. He knows what's in their hearts. And what's really in their heart is they want to destroy him. They want to kill him. They want to get rid of him. And he says, you want to do the desires of your father. And then he says this, he was a murderer from the beginning and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. So he says, you are of your father, the devil. And then he tells us something about the devil. He tells us two things. He says that he is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, and this is no doubt a reference all the way back to the first man and woman. And there, you remember, in the garden, Satan was the one who deceived Eve, and through that deception and that sin that she entered into, what happened? She brought death into the world. And so Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He murdered Adam and Eve. He inspired Cain to murder his brother Abel, and he is the inspiration behind murder itself. Wherever you see murderous activity, you can know for sure that the devil is behind those deeds. I read an article recently. I think it appeared on the internet. It came from the Daily Mail, a London newspaper. And it said that Adolf Hitler and Russian leader Stalin were possessed by the devil, the Vatican's chief exorcist has claimed. Then it goes on and says Father Gabriel Amorth, who is Pope Benedict's caster out of demons, made his comment during an interview with Vatican Radio. Father Amorth said, of course the devil exists, and he can not only possess a single person, but also groups and entire populations. I am convinced that the Nazis were all possessed. All you have to do is to think about what Hitler and Stalin did. Almost certainly, they were possessed by the devil. You can tell by their behavior and their actions, from the horrors they committed and the atrocities committed on their orders. That's why we need to defend society from demons. Now, I usually don't agree with much that comes out of the Vatican, but this guy has got it absolutely right. And when you look at the atrocities that were committed by Hitler and Stalin and many others throughout history, and particularly throughout the history of the 20th century, wherever you see this rampant murderous activity, you know that the devil is at work, because he is the author of murder. I think of what's going on in Iraq. The devil is on the loose. And daily we're reading about all of the murder that's taking place, all of the lives, the innocent lives that are being destroyed. I remember reading a book a few years ago called A Short History of Islam by Karen Armstrong. And in that book, she gives a historical sketch of the succession of leaders within the Islamic religion from the time of Muhammad down to today. And basically, as you read through it, it's just a list of murders. It's one leader rising up and killing another leader, who kills another leader, who kills somebody else to take their place. And the whole history of the religion is a murderous history. It's a murderous religion. What does that tell you about it? It tells you that the devil is behind it. And this activity that's going on presently, that we see the Sunnis murdering the Shiites murdering the Sunnis, what is all of that about? How can you possibly justify any of that, you know, from the standpoint of God? The devil is behind it because he's a murderer. And that's true on an individual level. When individuals are inspired to murder, you know, you find some of the mass murderers that we have had in our culture and over our history. You know, you look closely at the profile of these guys and you find these guys are under the influence of the devil, many of them totally possessed by Satan. He is a murderer, but he's also, Jesus said, he's a liar. He is a liar. There is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. He is the father of lies. Now think about this. This is what Jesus said about Satan. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who is now working in the sons of disobedience. Paul also refers to him in writing to the Corinthians as the God of this age who has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. The picture the Bible presents to us basically is this, that the devil is in control of the world that we live in. Now, God, of course, ultimately is in control of everything, but because of man's ongoing rebellion to God, he has opened the door for Satan to have authority over the world. And what has the devil done throughout the world? Well, he's gone throughout human history, inspiring men to murder one another. And he's gone all throughout human history, weaving lies, deception, falsehood. And here we are today in the 21st century. We live in a world full of lies. And the devil is behind so much of that. You know, it's becoming more and more evident that our whole culture and much of our civilization itself is built on lies. It's built on deception. We as Christians should never forget this, because the devil is always working overtime to try to infiltrate the church with those same deceptive philosophies and ideas and theories by which he has duped the world. And the unbelievable thing is that Christians buy into it. You know, I cannot for the life of me understand Christians who want to embrace evolutionary theory. I don't understand that. I just don't get what is driving a person like that. When there's so much against the theory, when there's so little proof of any validity to the theory whatsoever. When evolutionists themselves will stand up and make public statements to the effect that, you know, this can't really happen, but the only alternative is creation, so that can't be true, so evolution must be true. When evolutionists are saying things like that, I mean, that seems pretty clear. There's no evidence for their case. But then Christians come along and say, oh, well, we need to embrace that. This is science. And the church has had a history of opposing progress and scientific discovery and all. And we don't want to be seen as a bunch of, you know, old-fashioned dummies. And so we need to embrace evolution. We need to accept it. I don't understand that. It's an infiltration of satanic philosophy into the church. Just coming back from overseas, coming back from Europe, coming back from Britain in particular, my goodness, you can hardly find a Christian leader in the country who believes the first three chapters of Genesis are literal history. You can hardly find. I'm not saying that there aren't some. There are. But they are few and far between. This is in the church. Bought into the lies of the devil. And so we need to remember that. This is what Satan does. He goes about lying and spreading lies, gossip, slander, rumors, those kinds of things. He's behind all of that. And you know, he will attack you personally, individually. He'll come to you and he'll lie to you. He'll tell you, you're fat. You're ugly. Everybody hates you. I'm serious. You ought to kill yourself. You're worthless. Don't go back to that church. They don't love you over there. They don't care for you. Nobody cares about you. He'll tell you things like that. He'll tell you that you're worthless. And so many of the maladies that people our suffering and our culture are rooted in Satan's deceptions and in his lies and in his attack. And of course, the world's clueless. They don't even believe there's a devil. So they don't know. I think of the young girls that are afflicted with anorexia, bulimia, things like that. And you know what they live with? They live with this in their mind. You're fat. They weigh 97 pounds. You're fat. And you need to lose weight. Don't eat. That kind of stuff that goes on in the head. You know, psychologists, psychiatrists, all these people have all these theories about what's going on or, you know, trying to figure out why. I'll tell you what is happening. It's the devil. Because he doesn't just affect things in that overall general sense. He comes right down to attacking people individually. Jesus Christ went about doing good and delivering all those who were oppressed by the devil. Do you remember the story in the Gospels where Jesus goes into a synagogue and there's a woman who is bent over? She cannot stand up straight. She's been in that condition for many years. Jesus delivered her, and some of the religious leaders were upset about it. And Jesus said, "Should not this woman, whom Satan has bound for 18 years, should not this woman have been loosed?" Jesus attributed that condition to the devil. Now, some idiotic churchman today would say, well, you know, Jesus didn't know any better. He thought there were devils and things. But, of course, we're in the scientific age, and we know that it wasn't a devil. She just probably had some muscle spasm in her back or something. I'll go with Jesus's theory any day. Jesus knew what the problem was. And we as Christians, we need to know too, because we are being bombarded with lies. And from every imaginable angle, the attack is on. It's ruthless. It's brutal. We are in a battle. And the devil, he's pulling out all the stops, and he's a liar. And he is just bringing out one lie after another, after another, after another. And it's a vicious situation that we find ourselves in. But we as Christians, we've got to realize what we're up against. We've got to realize what's going on. Or we might become a casualty in this spiritual battle that we are in the midst of. So we need to take our understanding of things and the world we live in and all. We need to take it from the Word of God rather than from the opinions of men. But Jesus, as he's talking to these guys here, he says something that's really interesting to me. He says, notice verse 45, he says, "Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe." Notice he doesn't say, "Although I'm telling you the truth, you do not believe." He actually connects their unbelief to the fact that he's telling them the truth. In other words, you could turn it around and say, "If I were lying to you, you would believe it. But because I'm telling you the truth, you don't believe it." That's what he's saying to them. And this is where a man might possibly go, that they become so entrenched in their rebellion against God that they gladly receive lies and completely resist truth. They cannot receive the truth. There are many people in our world that are like that today. Many people in our culture. Many people in our educational institutions and governmental institutions who are in that very place. They can't receive the truth. Because we tell the truth, they don't believe, because they can't believe truth. They have so embraced the lie that they are completely and totally opposed to truth. It's hard to realize that there are people like that. You know, we want to sort of think the best of everybody and think that, oh, you know, maybe they'll come around. Oh, it's probably because they just haven't had a good presentation. If we could just get a real clear message to them, and I'm all for getting a clear message to as many people as we can, but we have to realize that some people, the clearer the message, the more hostile they become to it. You see, some people are not in their position of unbelief because they haven't understood the truth. It's because they have understood it and they hate it. They oppose it. They reject it. That was the case with these men here.
We'll continue with more of this conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of John. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this lesson, or perhaps you'd like to review it again, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message called Murders, Lies, and the Devil. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3241. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.